Begin transmission. Hello, everybody. My name is Chris, and welcome to the channel. I am joined by Milan and Ben for another episode of Outer Rim Transmission. This is episode 149, and we're talking about season 3, episode 13 of The Bad Batch, Into the Breach. We're going to have a little bit of an abbreviated show today, just because we're a little bit short on time. Got a very late start. That's my fault. And also a little bit of technology's fault, but we're going to make the best out of it. So we're going to kind of just do an abbreviated version of the show that we usually do tonight, and just to have some content out for this week. Luckily for us, there was not much to talk about other than Bad Batch, so we got lucky on that front. But so we're going to just kind of go around the room for a real quick our week at Star Wars. I know, Ben, you had something you wanted to talk about right up front there.
Yeah, I got big breaking exclusive news for everybody on the podcast. So I booked tickets to see Star Wars The Phantom Menace Wednesday, May 1st at midnight. Wednesday night going into that Thursday, our local theater is going to have it as a midnight showing. It's kind of like a throwback to, you know, the 90s and early 2000s of midnight showings, because, they don't do that anymore too typically. Like, most of the time, the showings, like, for premieres, like, you know, you don't have to go to, like, even the 7 o'clock time. You could, like, go at 4 o'clock in the afternoon if you want to on a Thursday versus going at 7 even. So, you know, it's cool that our local theater is doing a midnight screening of it. And, you know, I was talking to my cousin about it, and he was like, oh, come on, let's go. It's going to be a blast, yada, yada, yada. So I was like, okay, you know, we can do that, because my cousin's younger. He's in his early 20s, and, mm-hmm. you know, he's never experienced a midnight screening because they don't do that anymore. You know, they don't really do that anymore. He could have potentially witnessed a midnight screening as, like, a five-year-old, you know, or something. But obviously his parents didn't take him to that as a 5 or 6-year-old back then. So this will be, like, his first midnight screening, so it should be a really good time. So we have that going on, and it's going to be a lot of fun, though. Like, I'm looking forward to it. It's been a long time for me, personally, since I've gone to a midnight screening. Like, even clear back to, you know, I watched Avengers opening night, and, you know, the earliest screening for that was 7 o'clock. So, you know, it's not like they were even doing midnight screenings back 12 years ago for the first Avengers movie, much less anything else. So it's just cool getting to get that late 90s, early 2000s feel again of a classic midnight screening. Because actually, like my last midnight screening I can remember honestly going to was when I was in, like, sixth grade or so, when I went and saw Revenge of the Sith with my friends and my friend's stepdad. We went to Revenge of the Sith's midnight screening back in the day, and, like, that's the last screening I've really gone to. So it's kind of, like, cool just going from, like, the last one that I can remember anyways being Revenge of the Sith to, you know, kind of starting the prequel trilogy over with Phantom Menace here in, like, a couple weeks.
Yeah, Milton, did you ever go to, like, Attack of the Clones or any of the prequel midnights?
No, I don't think I did. I think I was... I didn't for the first two because I was too young to go that late. Revenge of the Sith, I was 17, 18 years old, so I just went to a regular, like, Thursday screening or, like, Saturday screening or something. But, yeah, I didn't do a midnight screening for those movies.
Yeah. I find it interesting, Ben, because I was cross-checking all my local theaters. Somehow you're seeing it, like, 2 days before me. Not that I even have a chance of doing it, because somehow you're seeing it on a Wednesday. And I can't see it until Friday after work.
Well, because if you think about it, I was doing the math after we got done talking about it in the group chat. You know, realistically, I bet you, like, for some odd reason, our local theater is, like, on, like, the Australian New Zealand schedule. Because because the thing is, midnight Wednesday night, our time, midnight Eastern, is 6 p.m. Thursday Australian. So it makes me wonder if that's, like, the worldwide kickoff of that movie, of, you know, and maybe for some reason, I don't know why our theater would be doing it, but, like, that, like I said, there were several theaters around our local area for some reason. So maybe it's just this market, I guess, that has the license or rights or whatever to it. So I don't know. It's going to be interesting. Like I said, it's been years since I've gone to a midnight screening, so I'm really, really looking forward to that. And it should be a lot of fun. And then also to add into the festivities for that entire week, I was telling Milton about it before you hopped in, Chris. So I'm not going to go to this, though, because it's too expensive. But our local, or not really local, but it's like an hour and 10 minutes away, a bigger city near us. They have a city symphony orchestra.
Ooh.
And they're going to do a screening of Return of the Jedi, and they're going to do the whole music for the entire movie. But here's the kicker. It's like $125 entry, and I'm like, oof. I'm sorry. But like, if I'm paying $125, I need John Williams to be playing for
me. Yeah, really.
Honestly.
Yeah.
So I was just like, it's cool. And they're doing that, though, May the 4th, Saturday night, ooh, that night. So it's cool that, like, our local area is getting involved in, like, the Star Wars week this year. I'm really actually excited about it because, to my memory, like, we've never had, like, our local market around here really hasn't, like, engaged this much, I would say, in the Star Wars festivities, you know, basically since The Force Awakens came out, I would say. So, like, it's cool just seeing them kind of get back into the Star Wars spirit for some reason this year of all years.
Yeah, I like I said, I'll be seeing Phantom Menace on that Friday. Then that Saturday is actually free comic book day, so I'm going to be picking up the comics. And then probably like most of us, binging Tales of the Empire at some point that night to kick off Star Wars. And then Star Wars. And then apparently Fortnite is having an update. And they always have a really cool update when it comes to the May the 4th stuff. So it's going to be fun to be had on all mediums, video games, comics, movies, all that good stuff. So, yeah. Yeah. What's going on with you, Bill? What's going on in your neck of the woods as far as Star Wars? Anything as of note?
Nothing really per se. Well, actually, yesterday I was hunting for a Star Wars figure for my girlfriend's nephew. His birthday's in a couple weeks, and he wanted something that Star Wars related or something to that extent. So I was looking for that, but I didn't find anything that I liked for him. So I'm gonna keep looking in the next couple weeks regarding an action figure that he wants on his list. As for my week in Star Wars in general, though, I did just watch the I don't know if you guys the Prism YouTube channel. They do like the AI stories and they retell the sequel trilogies, that type of thing. They just released one. It's called it's What If Star Wars Obi-Wan. It's What If Star Wars Obi-Wan Was Awesome Part One. They're doing like a mini series. And it's pretty cool. It's pretty dope. It's like 7 minutes of what their interpretation of Obi-Wan series could have been. It's really, really good. I love it. Can't wait for them to do their other mini episodes for the little mini series. And I love how they take advantage of the AI technology, the way they tell their stories, the way they use music, motifs, that type of thing. So, so that was pretty much my week in Star Wars when it comes to watching stuff. And also, me and the girlfriend just finished the Rise of Skywalker yesterday. She likes that movie way better. She liked that one way better than The Last Jedi.
I mean, I could see it. I could see it. Like,
did she say like what her favorite part is, or what about Ben Solo? What did she say about Ben Solo's redemption?
She hates Kylo Ren. She hates Kylo Ren. Like, that's not her guy. She was like, she didn't like the whole. Well, she understood them kissing at the end. She's like, well, that kind of makes sense with their bond. I was like, no, this is stupid. But here's the thing though. Someone who's not really a fan like her, to see it that way, I was like, okay, that makes sense. How the way she interpreted it is completely different than how I would interpret it, because I have more of that inside baseball Star Wars. Not saying I'm the ultimate Star Wars fan and have all the information, but she sees it from a distance in what's presented in front of her, not what she knows and the lore and all that type of stuff. So it worked for her. She thought it was a way better movie than The Last Jedi. I agree. You know, I think it's significantly more superior. I think she loves Chewie, like always. She loves Poe and Finn. I think she kept asking about Finn. Finn. Where's Finn?
Yeah.
And I don't know if I went into details. I think I told her that they kind of wasted him. I think I said they kind of wasted him in the last two movies. And Cheek is like, oh, yeah, I can see that. So it's definitely a film that she enjoyed better than The Last Jedi. I think she really liked The Force Awakens a lot.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we finished the trilogy.
What about...
Nice.
What about The Emperor's Return? Did she question that? Like, where the heck did this guy come from?
She did. She's like, she pretty much was like, well, what the hell? Like, how did he come back? Like, I thought he was dead. Blah, blah, blah. So like... I had to explain to her the whole cloning the best I could, but I said that's not unusual because it's in like the old legends, so it makes sense. But I said they didn't really. I told her, I said the argument was people were upset that they didn't explain this better, whether it's in the movie or in canon books. Like they kind of just gave it to us. So
it's I said one little Beaumont line.
Beaumont Kin's famous line.
Yeah, little line, and if you blink or cough, you miss it.
Exactly, and I told her, because she's like Snoke, because she asked about Snoke. I'm like, yeah, he was created by Palpatine, and I explained what his original purpose was. And I did tell her, I said, I do remember in The Force Awakens novelization, Snoke says he watched like Vader's demise or something like, did they retcon that? Blah, blah, blah. And I tried to explain it to her. I said, this is where the sequel trilogy gets all jacked up. The last two movies kind of screwed everything up, but it is what it is. And she says Palpatine sucks, by the way.
Ah! Well, funny.
You know me, I love Palpatine.
Yeah,
I did tell her. I said it was cool seeing. I still told her it was cool seeing Episode 3 Palpatine return at the end.
Oh, for sure. I love though hearing like more like the normie take like that, like hearing from people that aren't inside baseball like all of us, like where we know every like little nook and cranny pretty much to these things. It's cool just seeing like hearing from her, or like, you know, for me personally, I'll always judge it like based on like my grandma or my uncle who watches Star Wars or people like that, because, you know, it's like more of, like you said, Milton, it's kind of like a distance versus us just like always with a magnifying glass on it.
Yeah, well, speaking of which, oh, if you have any last point to make, I was actually going to segue to my week in Star Wars, which actually perfectly coincides with yours.
No, like I said, I think that wraps it up. I think we had a really good experience watching those movies. I think she saw it differently, which I do appreciate. And this is why I tell people, got no problem with people who like those movies or like any types of stuff in Star Wars, as long as you enjoy it. And we had a dialogue, and that's how we should be. Like, communicate, and we're good. Move on.
So that's funny how you talked about your girlfriend, because I introduced my niece and nephew to The Empire Strikes Back last night. And I could spend a whole episode basically analyzing a 4- and 8-year-old's interpretation of The Empire Strikes Back, because, oh boy, was there a lot of fun commentary from those kids watching this movie. It was a blast. And I mean, just a major takeaway, obviously, like the Vader reveal. I was watching their facial reactions to what they would expect, because the last couple weeks, all it's been is, you know, where's Luke's dad and who's Darth Vader? Who's Darth Vader's son? All these questions. And then my niece, she was basically in absolute denial. She's like, no, that can't be right. Like Luke, you know, like Luke's, no, that's a, that how's that going to work? That can't work. It's impossible. I'm like, nope, that's the thing, you know? So it was really funny to watch somebody's reaction for the first time of like the biggest reveal of Star Wars. And then just a lot of other little things, you know, like my nephew, he's a really smart little guy. And he's like, oh, Luke should have just cut the catwalk and then Vader would have fell down. I'm like, yeah, that would have actually worked pretty well. You know, they're like, why are there so many snakes on Dagobah? You know, these like really funny questions where I'm like, they're like, they need to give a name to that snake. And I'm like, yeah, you know, Fantasy Flight Games, you know, give us a card of that snake with a name. And oh, you know, like just there's so many cool things. The Wampa. The whole thing with the I was expecting my niece to get scared by the jump scare with the Minox there, and she was like, I told her there's that scene coming up without explaining with her. The whole first half of the movie, she's like, "Is the scary scene here yet? Is the scary scene here yet?" And I was like, okay, it's coming. And then she like peeked out with one eye and she's like, yeah, it's not that scary. I was like, I told you. But like, there's like so many little funny things like that. I'm trying to think of like one more. With Yoda, you know, with the whole thing with Yoda being so goofy, she's like, why is this character acting like this? Like he's, you know, and then why is he telling him he's not Yoda? And then and all of a sudden he is Yoda and he gets serious. And she was scared of the part when he's like, you know, you will be. Uh-huh. And he has like that real serious face and like who can't really get scared at that point, right? But like at one point she's like the Cloud City Bespin thing, she's like, I'm kind of scared of this movie. I'm like, this movie's meant to be dark. The heroes lose in this movie. That's the biggest thing about Empire, is you can't go and expecting any major victories. Like there's a lot of sad things that happen in this movie. And it was cool. Also, one last point. My nephew has been watching, I don't know, I think it's Young Jedi Adventures, but he watched a couple of Lego specials. So when like Palpatine popped up in the hologram, he's like, I know that guy. He was from the Lego special I watched. Mm. And then when they came out of the Exogorth, he's like, I've seen that thing before. So it's kind of cool how like these entry level Star Wars animation things are resonating with him, being like, yeah, he's already a little bit familiar with some of these creatures, some of these characters and different things like that. So yeah, and one thing was my niece was like, again, I could talk a whole hour about this, we don't have time, but she's like, why aren't there any kids in this movie? And I'm thinking, like, she's like, what about any 8-year-olds? I'm like, you're right. Mm-hmm. There actually aren't any kids in The Empire Strikes Back at all. But I'm like, just wait till Return of the Jedi. Just wait till Return of the Jedi. I didn't tell her about the Ewoks, but I know they're both going to love the Ewoks because they're kids and they love cuddly little creatures, of course. So I'll have more to report on when we get to Return of the Jedi. But that was a fun experience. You know?
That's awesome, man. Yeah, it's great. It's great getting to hear like people's reaction, especially kids' reaction to Star Wars, like those big moments, like you said, like the Vader moment. You know, you still see clips of people from like the 80s walking out of the theaters going, oh no, Vader was lying, that's not real, yada yada. Like, it's cool just getting to see those reactions. And then heck, even like harkening back to like Yoda and Attack of the Clones, like kids' imagination, like, you know, can see things like adults can't when he's talking to Obi-Wan or whatever, because like I honestly never even thought of that as like a possibility. Like, you know, Luke could have just like cut the catwalk and, you know, that's like, honestly, that is something I've never thought of in my entire life. And it's like, oh yeah, that's like an obvious thing a little kid would notice that, you know, we just would look over. So it's just cool seeing like a totally different perspective on a movie like that.
I always appreciate the going back and forth with 4 and 8-year-olds about Star Wars, because I learn a thing or two, surprisingly, on both these movie experiences. I'm like, I never thought about it that way. But there you go. So that is our opening icebreaker for Outer Rim Transmission 149. We already have some people in the chat. Skywalker Academy, Clips Films, Melbourne. I'm guessing Clips is from Australia, so welcome from down under. That's pretty awesome. You can join those people every week as we go live, usually around 7 p.m. Eastern on Sundays. Keyword, usually. I'm going to really try hard about that next week. But other than that, you can listen to us every week at any point throughout the week. Just search Outer Rim Transmission on things like Spotify and Apple Music. This week, we had 2 comic book releases. We have The High Republic Adventures, Saber for Hire, issue number 1. We have Mace Windu, issue 3 out of 4. I explained and talked about those episodes over there on the channel, as well as over on the Star Wars Underworld channel. Me and Matthew break those down in our 30-minute to 60-minute usual big, big breakdowns over on Star Wars Underworld. That's the Tractor Beam show. We go live every Wednesday at 9 p.m. Check us out over there. Speaking of comics, we have the Inquisitors comic that got revealed. So that's really cool. For more on that, you can go ahead to StarWars.com. But yeah, basically Inquisitors in between episode 3 and episode 4, led by Vader. They're going after a new Jedi that's been created just for this comic book series. It's a mini series. I'm guessing it's 4 issues, but maybe 5 or maybe more. But yeah, you'll have more details over there. Dive into our show proper here. We're going to be talking about The Bad Batch. Season 3, episode 13. This one is called Into the Breach. There are 3 episodes left, 2 after this discussion here. So this is basically another episode where we're getting to the next point, is the way I look at it, right? We're going from point A to point B. How are the Bad Batch getting into Tantus? We find that out in this episode. What is Omega doing to try to escape the vault on Mount Tantus? we get that information as well, and some things in between there. But I'm going to throw over to Milton. What was your reaction to this episode?
It was a good episode. I actually watched it this morning, which is nice because it's very fresh in my mind.
Nice.
It was a good episode, and I'm going to just use an old football Bill Belichick analogy, or I guess, you know, thing. It did its job. You know, he says, do your job. It did its job. It's setting us up for these next two episodes. Now, obviously, we all know these next two episodes will be, I would say, probably part one of the two-part finale. Let's be real here.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully this will lead into a really good setup for part one, which will then obviously be concluded in the final episode, which is episode 15. I thought the visuals... This whole season has been solid on visuals. I mean, spectacular. Solid's even probably not the best word to use. The visuals are great. I love the storytelling that we're getting. I love that Omega has been a consistent character throughout this particular season. She's been impulsive when she needed to be. She's been mature. She clearly see the maturity she's made over these three seasons. And you can see her, especially in this particular part of her arc, the leadership quality that she's taking and she's really embracing. I mean, I believe she might be the oldest child in that facility right now with those group of five, or may not be oldest, but she's more mature mentally, and she's probably older mentally because of what she's been through. And you can clearly see that. She don't act like the other children, and she's always saying, hey, like, you know, I got a plan. We're going to figure this out. You can clearly see her thinking and trying to figure things out, and I love that. I love that. That's what any person would do in that situation if they were put in captivity after being free or living with military-type people most of their life. You start picking up those characteristics. So I love that. I loved how we are getting somewhere with the story, knowing, hey, this is going to be the end. Now I'm just curious to see how they're going to pay it off.
Yeah.
I really didn't have an issue with this episode. I didn't feel the pacing was bad, neither. I thought the pacing was well done. It moved. It never felt slow to me. Now, is this an episode that I would rewatch again? Maybe if I would binge it with another episode mixed with it. Yeah. I mean, and again, it's not saying it's bad if I wouldn't rewatch it. It's just it stands alone well by itself, and it did its job.
Yeah, I really like how you put that, Milton, because to me, I kind of echo a lot of your thoughts there. Or it's really a great example of how to get from point A to point B, as I said, but it's also really just going to make those last two episodes really, you know, ring true at the end with just, it's going to be everything hitting the wall at once. Yeah. What were your thoughts there, Ben, on this episode?
Yeah. I mean, we're all in agreement on here. Like, I think the episode was good. Like you said, Milton, it did its job. It got us to where we needed to go. It also, like, you know, set our characters up in, like, the right positions for our good guys, bad guys, Omega, and everybody in between. It kind of set everybody up into position for this kind of, you know, like you said, it's, I would say, even though they're not classifying it this way, this is probably, when we look back on it after the season's over, I'm sure this will look like part one and part two for the finale. So I feel like going into this finale, everyone's set up in the right positions they should be at. So, you know, we don't have any loose ends like, oh man, we still got to finish up Sid's mission next week to get to the finale or something. You know, we actually are heading into the finale with a purpose. And like you mentioned, the character, Omega is more mature as a character. Like, she's more smart and impulsive. And like, she knows, like she's just more like battle hardened and just experienced overall. So it's great getting to see, like, her traits and her skill in action after, you know, what she's learned from the crew the past few years. I think overall just the episode was a good one. You know, we had some good stuff in it. Like, I liked, you know, some of the little quips and remarks from Rampart in the episode I thought were pretty good. You know, I thought those were really nicely done, and yeah, those are just kind of my overview thoughts of the whole thing.
Let's hover on that point there, Ben, with Rampart. I thought he was the highlight of the episode, actually.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, what'd you think about the characterization of Rampart now that he's fully groomed and he's ready in his imperial garb there, Milton?
I agree. I mean, that's actually, once you said that, I'm thinking, yeah, he was a highlight, because he could have easily portrayed them and just acted like a piece of, you know what. But I think the one sentence that stands out is when it was Echo or Wrecker said, "Don't forget, the Empire is the one that imprisoned you. We rescued you and try to get you, you know, we're going to make you free if you help us out. So don't, just be careful what you do," which I thought set the tone of his character. Because really before that, he made the comment about, "Well, I can't wear this outfit. It's a captain's outfit." Well, you've been demoted, which would make sense because you know, most people probably wouldn't know that he was broken out. So if they probably think, "Oh, Rampart got out. He was arrested before. Yeah, he got demoted." That makes sense. It's illogical for him to have to be deranked. So to me, it worked. I never questioned, "Oh, that's BS. That would never happen." Okay, he got out. And now he's a captain instead of being a vice admiral. You know, that's all good. So I loved his interactions with the clones. I loved how he played his part. Now at the end, you got to see him starting to revert a little bit, but it worked.
Yeah, no, I really liked the dialogue, his lines, the delivery. Was just fantastically imperial, right? It's always fun to just see these imperials, like just the way they speak, especially him. He is like the epitome of one of those imperial officers that we see on in Empire Strikes Back or whatever, right? They're just so stuck up, and everybody, like, he's trying to be superior to all his, you know, subordinates. He's got to show that power. The first guy he walks up to when they land the ship on that station, just to put that guy in his place, was like, it was kind of nice to see that, you know, Ben?
I loved that part, because when the guy like ran off after he said it was classified and all this, I love like Rampart just adding in there, "I missed this," like, you know, it was just a good little imperial showing. Like you said, he really, like, other than Tarkin, obviously, like, even comparing him to Kallus, like, he's more OT imperial than Kallus is, you know, for example, in terms of our animated, you know, rebel or animated imperial type characters. Like, he literally, like, you could take Rampart's character and drop him into, you know, A New Hope, Empire, or Jedi, and he would fit right in. Mm-hmm. So it's just, it's good they really, like, nailed that imperial archetype, I think. And, you know, this episode did a really good job of highlighting his character. And, like you guys said, I came out of this one, to me, he was the highlight of the episode, I believe, just because of all of these reasons we've broken down, really.
Yeah, I mean, he was a pretty good villain, I would say, for season one and then into two. Like, he shows that he's capable, right? Like, the last thing you want to have is a villain that just doesn't, you know, walk the walk, you know, so to speak. But, like, he has done a lot of pretty bad things, that also had the Bad Batch involved and different things like that. So to actually see him on our side, so to speak, I'm very curious if he's going to make it out of this one alive. You know, that's what I want to see, is like, what is the future of this character? There's so many variables to like this entire show. We got two episodes left, but there's so many of these characters we never seen him in Rebels, right? This is another one of those great examples, is the fate of Rampart. Another thing that really struck me is the whole visual of them stripping the color from their armor. It's basically a symbolism of they're getting rid of their individuality, which is the whole thing that the clones strived on, right? Throughout the Clone Wars, the animated series, we see them all having different tattoos, different haircuts, different pieces of armor, different things like that. So it's like, oh, wow, like, what does this symbolize? Is this the death of the Bad Batch as we know it? Now, of course, they think they could color the armor. I'm thinking more like a pessimistic view, like this is maybe telegraphing the unfortunate fates of some or maybe even all of the Bad Batch. Like, you guys have any thoughts on that?
I mean, I didn't mind it. Look, I thought it was actually kind of cool. And again, it made sense.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so I felt it was appropriate for what they were doing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, like it fit into like their mission that they were doing, and yeah, like, I don't know, I think I was thinking along the lines of what you were saying, Chris. Like, I was thinking about that a couple of days ago. It's like, it makes you wonder, are they doing this? Are we going to get like a Rogue One-esque scenario? Like, or even, like, God forbid, what if, like, we get a, you know, we could get a happy ending-ish type thing, but what if, like, we get something where, like, I don't know, Omega's in Carbonite by the end of this, or, like, Omega's captured or something, and then, like, the Bad Batch is, like, taken out, but, like, maybe some good guy finds Omega in Carbonite down the road in, like, an epilogue scene or something. Like, just because, like, with the Bad Batch getting their armor washed and, like, all these things, it's like, is it symbolic? Like, are they gonna, you know, maybe all get, like, kind of Rogue One'd at the end of this type of thing when they go to rescue Omega? Because, you know, I'm thinking more and more, like, at least one of the members, I don't think makes it. Like, I think someone's gonna get taken out. I just feel like it's inevitable. I do think also throwing in there, though, I do think Rampart's probably gonna get taken out, because it feels to me they're gonna give him kind of like a mini character arc circle as well, like him going from villain in season one to he might do a little heroic thing at the end of this. Like, maybe, I don't know, something's happening, and maybe Hunter's like, no, you don't have to do this, and Rampart's like, oh yeah, I gotta do it, or whatever. And, you know, just some heroic little thing Rampart does. I feel like he might get taken out too. So I think to me, like, going into this two-parter, I think it feels like, on my, like, counting cards, it's probably Rampart and then at least one of the main Bad Batch members getting taken out.
Yeah. So Clips Films Melbourne in the chat says, as Rex said back in season 7, Clone Wars, so much for stealth, Bad Batch strips out their paint. Was that, I guess, that, yeah, the Bad Batch episodes, did they strip off their paint? Maybe I completely forgot about that part. I have to go back. I think they did
because, like, I think they made a point, if I remember, I think Anakin, whoever was with the crew at the time.
Anakin.
Like, they were, like, talking a lot of crap to them. They were like, I mean, Bad Batch was hating on the clones when they first met. So I think that had something to do with it.
Okay. Another cool thing was, it's just a noticeable Easter egg kind of thing, is just the idea of the space station. We've seen that earlier in the season. I think Cad Bane was there, or somebody was there, the space station above Coruscant. So, hey, I just like to see them reuse that location. I thought it was a cool location, and we got to see a lot more of an Imperial station. I'll say one last big thing I took from the episode is the level of tension, especially at the end there, right? It's like, you got this really interesting mission where... Yeah, it was Tech, right? Tech went, or Echo went on top Echo. Of, he went into the ship to take down the sensors, and it was literally to the last moment that they were able to get on that ship and go to hyperspace. Like, wow, that they really dialed up the tension to be pretty darn suspenseful at that moment. So that was another big plus for me out of this episode.
Yeah, I agree. I thought that was a good scene. I thought that was actually well done, because, I mean, it could have easily been, well, they couldn't have made it, and then they're screwed. So it would have worked either way for me, honestly. I think that's why it worked so well, because either result could have been fine with me.
Hmm.
Oh, yeah, I agree. Like, when we were getting to that part, I was like, oh, man, I hope they make it, because if not, that means next week's episode is going to be a full... Oh my gosh, we got to go search for Tantus again versus, you know. So I was like, I was on the edge of my seat going, okay, come on, let's do it.
Yeah,
it did its job though.
Yeah. So there you go. I mean, I'm very curious about next week, this thing called Flash Strike, right? Like, what are four or five, whoever, how many number the Bad Batches was, four guys right now or something, that they are literally going to try to attack all of Mount Tantus. Like, how is that going to go? They're going to detach their ship from the Tantus ship and then maybe get the coordinates and send them to somebody if they don't get their transmissions jammed somehow. Like, that'll be interesting. Yeah. But
I'm curious to see how this is going to play out, just because, you know, I feel like with the last episode, I would think they'd make it longer than 30 minutes. You know, I would say make it a 60-minute episode just to really flesh it out, just to give us, like, a lot more. Because there's going to be a lot of things that you're going to have to close up and wrap up in these next two episodes.
I hope they're extended episodes and not 22 minutes.
Yeah, my running betting theory on this is I think the last episode is going to be at least 42 minutes, because why would they cut this season down to 15 episodes versus 16 like the others? So, like, I think that's your red flag right there. Like, if I had to bet on it, I feel like if I had a percentage, I'd say it's like a 70% chance probably the last one is at least 40 minutes because of that.
We shall see. So we're going to give our scores for the episode, and then there is a comment in the chat that I want to highlight before we get off of here this evening. So I'll throw it over to you, Ben. What was your overall thoughts of the episode once again, and just score out of 10?
Yeah, I mean, the episode really did its job. It was good. Like to me, this is where this season has really gotten it right with this show. Every week, you know, we've talked about, since the beginning of this season, our opening debut episode of this, I'm sure everybody remembers my comparison. Like, if we go into this season, like, and we get a good winning record, like, in sports terms, you know, we'll be good. And, like, every week, it's like, win, 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 win. Like, every week has been very, very strong. And, like, this is where this season's been strong compared to, say, prior seasons, where, like, you know, normally these kind of, like, in-between episodes that aren't, like, you know, big, like, you know, big episodes, you know, they would normally be like side mission filler type episodes with Sid or with, you know, like the racers or whatever in prior seasons, to now these in-between episodes mean something. Look, like, all three of us are sitting here saying, oh yeah, this is really good, versus in prior seasons, we probably would be given this, like, you know, like a 4, because, you know, the episodes were just kind of like blah. So it's cool that they made these episodes actually mean something. So, you know, for me, with all that in mind, like, this is a really good way to enter into, like we said before, this is kind of like a pseudo two-part finale, I really feel like, based on the way things have played out. So for me, leading into that, I think it's a really strong 8.5.
There you go, 8.5. What about you, Milton?
Yeah, I have to agree with Ben on his sports analogy. I was about to say, it's definitely making the playoffs.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, there's, what, 13 episodes so far? They're 12-1, in my opinion. 12-1.
Yeah, number one seed.
Yeah, exactly. They're number one seed in the playoffs. And, like, to me, episode 2 was that one loss, quote, I mean, air quotes. It wasn't a horrible episode. It just wasn't my favorite. That was probably the weakest episode, is episode 2. But, obviously, this whole entire season and what we've always been pushing has been, these series need to be consistent, especially when they're limited episodes like 15 to 16. And this season has been very consistent. The narrative has been thoroughly consistent. This episode, again, maintained the same type of storytelling that it's been showing, you know, the previous, you know, 10 episodes. I feel like we are now getting to, okay, these next two episodes should really pay off and hopefully leads into the next phase of, you know, Star Wars animation or whatever film that's going to be told or whatnot, because I really do feel like we'll get a definitive ending, but I think it will lead into something else. And overall, I felt that this episode did its job. I love the visuals, the storytelling. I love Omega, you know, obviously having the Imperial officer come back and do his thing. 8.5 as well. I'm very pleased with what I watched today.
Yeah, it's so great to actually have so much positivity around this series, because Milton, man, there were a couple episodes last season where I was getting worried. I was like, we kept talking about
rats. Yeah. We all were saying it.
Yeah, I mean, look, guys, we went into this season going, I mean, because remember the finale last year, the big thing was like, oh, it's the doctor's her sister, and it's like, oh, okay. And, like, we went into this season going, I hope it's going to be good, because if not, this is going to be a long 4 months, basically. So it's great getting to, you know, actually enjoy Star Wars week to week versus being like, hopefully it's good next week. So, yeah, it's been a good time, guys.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I don't think I liked this episode nearly as much as you guys did. I think it was pretty good. Rampart saved the episode for me. He was just a joy to watch. So I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to give it 8 out of 10. my selfish fan thing is I'm like crying on the internet going, I just want all the episodes at once. It's crazy how my brain works, right? I'm looking at Fallout, the series on Amazon, going, that needs to be a weekly release. That is so good. It needs to be a weekly release. And I'm looking at Bad Batch like, oh, I wish there could be like four episodes released at a time. Because I finish these episodes and I'm like, I want more. And that's a good sign. That's a sign that the show is really good, right? But I'm just selfish. I'm like, I just wish there was more to binge or something. They're just 22 minutes every week. But anyway, so I'm sure it's going to be an even better experience binging this whole season as a whole. That'll be really good. But yeah, I'm going to give it an 8 out of 10. And we have Clips Films. Melbourne throws in a little speculational theory here I wanted to end the show off with tonight. Wouldn't it be cool if someone let Zillow Beast escape on Mount Tenth, is destroying everything in a facility, and eats Dr. Hemlock? It's like in Half-Life, the game, when aliens infested the Black Mesa, or in a scene from Castle in the Sky anime film when the robot destroys an army fortress in Rampage. It's funny you mention that, Clips, because there's somebody else, I think it was the week before, I wish I remember their name, but literally wanted the same thing about Zilla Beast just eating Hemlock. That is a really nice coming full circle type of moment if it were to happen. And for somebody as evil as him, that would be a fitting end for that character, I think. So
yeah, that's a good idea. I mean, I could see that being a possibility.
Right.
Oh, go on, Milton. Sorry.
No, but I say it could work if they tell it right. It could work. Obviously, if he's using it as an experiment in a way that's cruel and unusual, yes, you're getting your comeuppance for sure. He's going to get your face eaten off. So yeah, I'd be fine with it. Obviously, if they did it organically, it could work.
Heck yeah. So there you have it. Two more weeks to talk about Bad Batch, and there's going to be so much more to talk about next week. We kept things a little short and sweet this week, but we'll be back next week a little earlier, hopefully at 7 p.m. Eastern. It's all on me, as it always is, but technology. But anyway, so Milton, where can the people find you?
They can find me on Twitter at MiltonWeber7 or find me on Instagram at Milton7Weber. Just want to say, this is why I love the Star Wars animation. It's because they're so good and so consistent. And I know in 2 to 3 weeks, we're going to get Tales of the Empire right after this. So I can't wait for that, because I need to now think about, should I introduce my girlfriend to the animation of Star Wars? And I think in order to get her to watch Clone Wars and Bad Batch, I need to get her to watch Tales of the Jedi and then Tales of the Empire first to set the stage for what these stories will flesh out. So that's another conversation for another day. But thank you guys for watching. We appreciate y'all being here.
Well said. I got to do the same thing with my girlfriend, man. I told her, oh, yeah, Tales of Jedi. And she goes, huh? I was like, I thought we watched that together. I was like, oh, we gotta rectify that immediately. I said, we got to watch those real quick, real soon. All right. What about you, Ben? Where can the people find you online? They want to hear your thoughts on Star Wars and Madden and everything else.
Yeah. You can find me on Twitter at Real Ben Maynard, talking Star Wars, sports, fitness, that sort of stuff. And then you can find me on Instagram at Real Ben Maynard. I'm always on there as well, usually posting my workouts on my stories every day. So, you know, stay tuned for that.
There you go. You can find me right here on youtube.com/StarRaptor. And you can find my uploading. Oh, I just put up my review for the Civil War movie. That was my first written movie review over on starraptor.substack.com. So if you want to read some of my words and what's happening over there, just go over there, starraptor.substack.com. And also on this channel for more comic book reviews and more things coming down the pipe. But for Milton, for Ben, for I, Chris, aka Star Raptor, for everybody that joined us in the chat tonight, thank you so much for watching. May the Force be with you always, and transmission.